This evening, for a little while, we want to study on a topic that I thought might be interesting, and it is side effects. You go to the pharmacy and you pick up your prescription, for those of you old enough to have to take medicine, and it'll have a list in there, side effects. And if you read that, it'll have these different things you might have. And if I'm reading it, all of a sudden it says you might itch, and I'm itching. And it just kind of gets in between your ears. So I want to think this evening about some side effects. How about this one? The side effects of tobacco. For our tobacco users here, I can get by with this because I chewed for a numerous years. So I can do this. Here's the way I handled it. One, it's addictive, but I can quit anytime I want to. Two, you might get cancer, but it won't be me. Mortality, I don't want to die old, so I can get through that. Heart disease, won't be me. Renal failure, it runs in my family, but it won't be me. Infection, I don't get infected. Infertility, I've got all the kids I want. Stress, I don't have no stress. So that's the way I get through with that. And we know that everything has some side effects. So what does that got to do with the lesson? Nothing. It's just an introduction, okay? Let's think about the side effects of sin. Sin has its effects. What are the side effects? Let's think about it a little bit. Jimmy quoted this morning in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then James 4:17. Therefore to him to know it to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. This is my definition. So much for that one. Know to do good. And not do good equals sin, okay? So we know where we're at. I'm talking about something that affects all of us. I know one person here that probably has not tried tobacco, but maybe a little bit. The rest of us probably has tried tobacco to some form. Every one of us is in sin. All of us have had sins in our lives. So this is something that we need to be aware of. When I thought about side effects of sin, we don't have time this evening. So I'm going to pick a few, okay? In Matthew 25:42, for I was hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger and ye took me not in. Naked and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison and ye visited me not. People with sin are selfish. We don't want to help. I will help a brother or sister, but the guy on the street, probably not going to help him. Tell you a story. Curtis and I went to Home Depot years ago to pick up paint for the church. The guy walks up and he says, I need some help. My dad died. We just buried him. I need some gasoline to get back to Plainview. I said, okay, follow me. We put some gas in his car. Took about $5. And I thought, ooh, you got a little tank. A few days go by. We run out of paint. I run back to Home Depot in a different vehicle. Get me some paint. Walk up. Here's the same guy. Says, sir, I need some help. My dad died. I need some money to get back to Plainview. And I looked at him. I said, how many times are you going to bury the guy? Get out of here. So the cons in the world makes it a little more difficult. But in general, when you have sin, you're very selfish. Another side effect. Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. We want more. We want bigger. We want nicer. We want newer, don't we? We never get enough. Brother Clyde told me about meeting Sam Walton in Plainview years ago. Sam walked up in just everyday clothes. All of his top execs had suits and ties on. Sam was content with his regular clothes on. But we, lots of time, if we get caught up in sin, we just are not content. Here's a verse that's very familiar in Acts 5:3. And Peter said, Ananias, why has sin filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing, and thou hast lied, and you have not lied unto men, but unto God? If you remember back in Acts 2, the gospel were preached, 3,000 souls were added, and then the Christians went about selling their things and giving it to the apostles so everyone that had need would have what they wanted, what they needed. Ananias and Sapphira sold some land, and they made up to make everybody think they was given all of it. What happened to them? The next verse. Says, and Peter said unto them, fill thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. This is what happened. They lied. Remember what happened right after that? They dropped dead. The young men took them outside and buried them. In the space of 3 hours, here comes the wife, Sapphira, and she tells the same story. And straightway, she dropped dead. So I guess all of us have been around people that you can't believe what they have to say. In John 8:44, it says, you're of the father of the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth of him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. We have to guard against that. So many times to cover our tracks or to relieve blame, we want to tell a lie. The world has made it okay to tell a white lie. That's a little one that don't hurt nobody. God does not make any difference. A lie is a lie, and you're after the devil, which is the father of all lying. How about this? Side effect of sin. No friends. I won't read all this. I'll just tell you it in my own words. We found a young man that goes to his father, says, give me of my inheritance. And the father did. And straightway, this young man took a journey and wasted all of his inheritance in riotous living. There was a famine. He was hungry. He was in want. So he went to work for a guy in that country, in the fields feeding swine. Where was his friends that he had his party with? Where were they? They wasn't helping him now. So many times we see people having a fun life, and then before you know it, they're in the gutter. That's what sin will do to you. It'll drag you plumb to the gutter. And nobody's going to come help you. Your fair-weather friends are not going to be there then. They went on without you. Next thought, side effects of anger. In Proverbs 14:17, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You ever been around someone that just get mad at the drop of a hat? Just before you know it, they're angry. When sin's in your life, that can happen. And I guess every one of us have been angry, have we not? I had a guy tell me once, says, I never saw you angry. And I said, you don't want to. It's not a pretty sight. So we have to guard against that and keep that in control. I was asking Sean about this, and he said, what about the unforeseen effects of sin? So I had to think a little bit. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You know, sometimes there's consequences to our sin that we don't even think about. One thing I thought of was, let's say you go out and you have sex with someone you shouldn't. Well, you may have a son or daughter for the rest of your life. Didn't think of that, did you? That could be unforeseen, I presume. Think about it in Genesis 4 and 15. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Remember, Cain was jealous of Abel, and he killed him. He never thought about what would happen to those of the neighbors of the people there. He was afraid they was going to kill him. So God put a mark on Cain. He had it for the rest of his life. He never thought about that. He didn't see that coming, did he? There could be long-term side effects of sin. Exodus 34 and 7. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. I was told that if you use cocaine, it stays in your body for 37 years. That's a long time. That would be a long side effect, wouldn't it? Brother Jimmy mentioned the Dukeses today. Dave Dukes done a Bible study years ago. It affected his children. It affected his children's children. It affected the third generation, the fourth generation. They're here. Some of them are here. Third and fourth generation is here because he did a Bible study and he obeyed the gospel. His grandchildren are here. His great-great-grandchildren are here. So that's a long-term effect, isn't it not? What happens if sin is untreated? Several things, and we'll look at them. If sin is untreated, there's no hope. Ephesians 2 and 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You know, this month, Sean and several others are going to be in Nigeria. He's going to be an alien there. He's going to look like an alien. One, he's white. Two, he's, I don't know how to say this. He is not malnourished, okay? He sticks out. He's an alien there. He don't know the language. He don't know the food. When you have sinned, you're an alien from God. First Thessalonians 4 and 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And we'll study this a little later. Those that are in Christ have hope. Those in sin have no hope. Death happens to those in sin. Ezekiel 18 and 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon them, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. As a result of sin, we die. And this maybe I'll explain a little better. Romans 5 and 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for all that have sinned. What does this say? Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. Do not eat of the tree in the midst. They did eat. Sin came into the world. And because of that, the death sentence is imposed on us, on every one of us here. Every one of us here. In James 1 and 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You know, I've often thought, if I was Adam and Eve, I wouldn't have done it. I was wrong. The devil tricked them, and the devil will trick us. We have sinned. We're going to die. You're going to die. How old will you be when you die? We don't know. You're going to die. Very possible before next Sunday, one of you will be dead and buried. Very possible. Somebody here may not be back next Sunday. We don't know when death is coming. After death, we have a problem. Hebrews 9 and 27. And is it appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. After we die, there's the judgment. We're going to stand before God, and He's going to judge us. There's no way to get around it unless you're alive when Jesus comes again, and then He'll change us, and then we'll be judged. You're going to get judged upon how you have handled sin. John 5 and 29, and shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. This is talk about those in the grave. The graves are going to be opened when Jesus comes again. We will arise, and then we'll be judged. That sounds kind of wild, don't it? But it's going to happen. We will see it. We'll stand before God, and He will judge us. Revelations 20 and 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. Jimmy went into pain and torment this morning, so I won't. I will go into forever and ever. How long is forever and ever? I don't know. I really don't know. I think about Sister Nona. She's over 100 years old. When she grew up as a little girl, she didn't have a car. There wasn't cars. She saw the development of the telephone. She saw the development of a TV, the automobiles, the airplanes, the internet, the computers. All of this has changed in 100 years. 100 years compared to eternity is that. Just an instant. And being punished for that long? This is sad. This is a bad story. This is awful. This is awful. Revelation 20 and 14. and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is a bad story. This is an ugly picture. And we all have to face it. We're all going to go through this. You know, if you went to the doctor and you're sitting there at the doctor's office, come out, so we've done the test. You know, I don't have good news. You're going to die. You've had it. There's nothing we can do. You know, that'd be a sad day. What if the doctor said, there's a cure. There's a cure. And you say, oh yes, good, I want the cure. Jeremiah 33:6, and behold, I will bring it health and a cure, and I will cure them and reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. We want the cure. We don't want to go through this. This life of torment, we don't want to do it. Mark 2:17, when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What is the cure? He may write down on his pad, here's a prescription, you go get it, and we're going to have surgery in the morning at 7:30. We're going to do this. We're going to do these treatments. We're going to go to rehab. We're going to do all this, and you're going to be cured. You say, okay, I'm ready. Let's go. Let's not wait. Let's go. Let's do it. What is the cure? And Jimmy covered this morning too. Luke 11:28. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Hear the word of God. Keep it. You know, he writes out this prescription, and you go get your medicine, and you set it on the shelf, and you don't ever take it. Don't do no good, does it? Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can't go after the cure half-heartedly. It won't work. You're going to end up dying and going to the place of punishment. You can't do it half-heartedly. In Luke 13:3, 13:5, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That means not living sinful anymore. Knowing to do good and doing it. That's what it means. Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before the Father which is in heaven. Y'all have seen it. Some people come to the fort, to the front of the building, and you ask them, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And they say, yes, I do. They made a confession. And then at the judgment, God will confess, I know them. They're one of mine. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. We've seen that. People change their clothes. They go up in here and they're baptized. They're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. They come up out of the water. Their sins are gone. They are cured from sin. This is what we're after. We're not condemned to everlasting destruction anymore.